Good evening and welcome to the Pacifica National Board. Tonight is very different. We have a combined meeting with the Audit and Finance Committee meeting, and our main topic tonight will be a discussion about the Policies and Procedures Manual of the Pacifica Foundation. As usual, those of you who listen to the Audit Committee stream, you always hear me say thank you so much for supporting us, and we ask for your continued support, because without you, there is no us. I will first read suggested agenda. Tonight we have the Chair, LaVon Williams, who is the Chair of the Finance Committee, and she'll be chairing the second half of the meeting. I, Nia Bediak, Chair of the Audit Committee, will be doing the first half. And we have our two secretaries, Audit and Finance, with Jamie Ross and Terry Goodman, respectively. First, we'll have Jamie call the roll for the Audit Committee, and then Terry for Finance. Jamie, go ahead.
Okay, for the Audit Committee, let's see, Mary Berg.
Present.
Ernesto Tico Chassin. Joe Wanzala. Jack Van Aken.
Present.
Don White.
Here.
Ian Johnston. Evelyn Bethune.
Present.
Sandy Weinman. Jim Stotts. Ambrose Lane.
Here.
Carol Wolf.
Here.
Lisa Davis. Lisa Davis? No. Okay, Nia Bediako is
present.
Here. And Jamie Ross is here. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Dave Adelson.
Okay.
Absent. Rudy Bediako.
Here.
Brian Edwards Teeker.
Here.
Jane Gatewood. Absent. Terry Goodman is here. Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Sandra Rawline.
Here.
Berthold Reimers. Absent. Thomas Ruffin. Absent. Bob Sanborn. Absent. LaVon Williams.
Present.
6 members of Finance.
Thank you. For the audience, I'll repeat that tonight there's one topic of discussion, and that's the Policies and Procedures Manual. The manual has, I should have a motion to approve the agenda. Then I'll say what's on it. Make a motion. And everybody.
So moved.
Agenda.
Okay. Any objections to approving the agenda? Hearing none. Okay. Tonight what we're going to do is there are 5 sections to the Policies and Procedures Manual. 1 is revenue and receipts. 2, disbursement, accounts and payables, payroll and benefits, cash and investment monitoring, and bank reconciliation. I will, since LaVon only has half a voice tonight, I will do the first 3, and LaVon will finish up. So what we should do, does everybody have the draft of the Policies and Procedures Manual?
Yes.
Oh? Okay. LaVon?
I'm sorry, Nia, did you call my name?
Yes.
What is it that you wanted to do?
Did finance go through any of this at all, or just work?
I think we didn't do it in a meeting, but we have. I think all of us on our own have gone through or looked at most of the information there. So, in terms of process, were you in terms of how we wanted to proceed from here? Or did his audit gone through in a meeting and discuss the package?
Okay. So I'll go through. Maybe I should take it paragraph by paragraph for the audience.
I was thinking that, you know, the question again was if has the audit committee actually gone through the package at all in terms of discussion as a group, or have you just done it individually?
We've done it as a group.
Oh, you've done it as a group. So
yes.
Perhaps, and since you have done it as a group, I was thinking that perhaps what we could do, this is LaVarne Williams, I'm sorry, what we could do is that the questions and issues that have actually come up now, maybe we can put those on the table now and then add anything that the finance group who have reviewed it individually and bring those up, and then we can go into discussions on the package, and starting like with, you said, like we can start with the first three and then end with the last two to start with revenue and receipts.
Okay.
And then
well, we
after
actually worked through the introduction, and in the introduction where it says the Pacifica Foundation's revenue categories are listed as support, we thought we should add on and off air. And Lonnie, you're free to chime in at any time, okay?
No, what I did is I went through it, and where I ones I had no problem with, I simply left them as they were. They seemed fine. And where I did have issues, I put my notes in red.
So, Lonnie, is this a package that you have sent out? Because the package I have doesn't have anything in red.
I have one. I have one that has. We initially did ours in red, and then there are blue comments, which look to me like they're probably yours, Lonnie.
No, the blue ones are not mine. The ones in red are.
And the
red comments begin in paragraph 3.
Okay.
I didn't have a problem with it. I simply left it alone. And then where I did have a question over my own comment, I put it in red. Everyone does not have that one?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
This is the point.
Yeah, I know. I don't have it.
I
would suggest that since the role of finance in the joint committee is more of a assisting and giving input, since the responsibility is audit. So since you guys have actually proceeded and gotten this thing rolling, what we need then is for Lonnie to send out his package that where he responded to you, and then what we can do, like you said, start going through things at the beginning, then we can add our questions, issues that we have.
Someone mute?
Yes, everyone mute.
Okay.
Did you mention my name?
Everyone needs to mute.
I think it might be Don's cell phone or his phone. Last time it was pretty high. And
maybe that is Jack at the bus stop.
They have now muted now, Mary. The person has muted. I think we'll do, just so we go through this really quickly. What we had was in stock donations. In stock donations, the audit committee had a question. The question was, are all stock donations automatically liquidated? Why? And we asked Lonnie to please clarify what goes to the national and what goes to the station. The approximate average annual amount of stock donation. And Lonnie, you want to give your answer
to
that?
Yeah, all stock donations are automatically liquidated. The answer
This is LaVarne. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. But let me just ask you again. Lonnie, you've sent out a package with updates. Can you just send that to the Finance Committee?
I sent it earlier today. I resent it right
today.
Now.
I don't recall seeing it, but okay, you can proceed.
Let me do that first.
Okay.
So that people will have it. Let me do it right now while I have it before me. So give me just a sec.
Hello?
Does everyone on audit have their copies?
Mine didn't have red in it, but that could be something I can fix. I got something, but.
But you got
it
something.
It looked different. I didn't see.
Jamie.
I don't have one from Lonnie.
I
didn't know audit. I'm sending it to finance now.
What I think, Jamie, I sent you something and I asked you to post it to Yahoo. Did you see that one? You see that?
Yeah. I can't get the attachment. You have to send me.
I can't either.
You have to send it to my email. Don't send it. You can't send attachments to me via the Yahoo group.
I can't either. That explains. I was looking at an earlier thing.
I'm going to send it right now. And Lonnie, you're sending.
Yeah, I got everybody, I think. If it'll happen. If anyone does have the red, they can send it if they got email addresses while I look it up.
I can send to audit.
Hey, let me send it to you. Okay, let's do it that way.
Oh. I sent it to you. If you could resend it, that might speed it up.
Uh-oh, what happened? Did I cut in on a call?
Who is this?
This is Holly.
Who?
Holly.
Hello? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, a call is going on.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize. How did I get in on that? Okay, call me back when you have a moment.
Sure.
Who was it that called?
That was someone in my house.
Oh, okay.
All right.
No problem.
Okay.
All right.
I just personal email Jamie.
Okay, fantastic.
All right, LaVon, I sent it to you. If you could resend it.
In the meantime, while LaVon is waiting for that to send it, during the audit committee, what I said was I didn't understand the difference between a stock donation and a regular donation. Why would they be treated the same, Lonnie?
A regular donation usually involves a credit card or a check. Stock donations, they have an indeterminate value. Somebody sends you a stock, you don't know what it's worth. So past practice at Pacifica has been to send it to a Schwab account, which is where all stock donations go, and they liquidate it to get the value of the stock. If it's restricted, then the money set aside for that particular station, and in a restricted, its use and its value is recorded. Now, that's how it's been done, and that's sort of the procedure that we have right now. Question about how much we've had. I'm having my controller check it out, but it's not very much in terms of stock donations. And what the value of those donations have been in the past is in the audit document. And when you look at the audit document, you can see what each station, in fact, has accumulated in terms of either yes or stock donations over the years. And it's part of the balance sheet for all stations that you'll find in the audit document itself. And you can see it in terms of both grant revenue and any other kinds of income that the stations have accumulated over the years. Okay, so where I'm looking for it now, but there's a breakout into the monthly balance sheet that you get that has everything in it that's been received since 1949. And it's broken out by station, and it's a mixture of either grants, either stocks, or bequests.
So
detail I don't have, but I can. I'm looking at it now. I have to trace back to see when they. Maybe there was a stock donation 10 years ago. I have to track that down. But the amount and how much is in the balance sheet. It says bequest endowment receivable, and that gives you a sense of what's receiving or what you are got coming up. And then it's in the I can sort of get the detail of it. It'll take some digging. Wasn't able to get it done for this meeting, but I'll be happy to do it.
Okay. There's a lot of background noise. So are you saying that the stations are supposed to get this?
Well, if it was earmarked for the stations,
yeah.
And some stations it was earmarked for, it is there in, I'm looking at page 16 on the audit document. It goes back years since we started doing business. And if you look on page 16, you'll see program endowment, and you'll see a number for that. And bequest endowment receivable. You'll see numbers for KPFA and the program endowment. And then, sorry, I'm fumbling around here, but I can look into the program endowments and give you some specific numbers, and I'll send those out, but I don't have it right now. It goes back, in some cases, 8, 9, 10 years.
This is Don White. Could I ask Lonnie a question?
Yes, go ahead, Don.
Yeah, Lonnie, if the development director, let's say at KPFK, is in touch with a person who donates stock to KPFK, is it actually forwarded to the foundation, and then KPFK gets credit, like in donate in our obligation to Central Services, or how does KPFK get absolute credit, and how is the value of that stock determined? But are you saying that the local station gets the funds, but it has to be processed by the foundation in Berkeley?
Yeah, with the way they set it up in the past at Pacifica, before my time, if someone from KPFK sends in a stock donation, say 10 shares of Greenpeace, whatever, that stock has a value that has to be determined on the date it would sell. So it goes to our investment house, Schwab in this case, and Schwab liquidates it in order to realize the cash. Those funds, if they're earmarked for KPFK, in this case they are, would be then put into the overall investment account for the network as a whole, and earmarked and the amount is on reserve for KPFK. Now keep in mind that the investment funds are considered the property of Pacifica, even though it came through the station and earmarked for the station, and of course it would be used that way. But because they came in through the station, doesn't mean that the station can spend those monies any way they can. The way it works is that if a station wanted to use those donated funds, it would include it in their budget, which would be reviewed by finance and ultimately approved by the board. Say you got donations worth $100,000, and you wanted to utilize those funds for a operating in a given budget year, given operating year, then you would draw those down and put those into operating for a given use. And then that use would be reviewed and approved, as I say, in our normal process, by the Finance Committee and the Board, ultimately, in approving budget.
Just a quick follow-up. What about a station that would like to use the value of that stock on the day it was donated? Let's say it's $100,000. Let's say that the station would like to use that $100,000 to be credited against their obligations toward Central Services. Could they do that?
We like to keep those separate. Because that would create some confusion. We like to keep the account separate. Central Services and its sources, we want to keep those sources clear. And stock source would muddy the water. The question, though, of if you had a stock that was donated last year and it was worth $50, well, this year it might be worth $100 or it might be worth $25. So you'd have to, you know, look at what the current value of any particular donation of stock was. Stocks move around quite a bit. And you have to make that determination of what their current value is as opposed to what their donated value was.
Okay.
Can I get on the stack?
Go ahead, Baruji.
Lonnie, I just want to be clear. When the stock comes in and you put it in your investment account, the first thing you do is you liquidate it, right? You sell the stock.
Yes.
And convert it to cash.
Yeah, and convert it to cash. That's been Pacifica's policy, I guess, for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Which I guess what crosses my mind is, though, why wouldn't the money be sent back to the station after the liquidation takes place? In other words, it's almost detrimental for a station, not detrimental, but it's not in the best interest of the station to get a stock donation because effectively it's more difficult for them to use, even though you've converted it to cash, it's more difficult for them to access than if the person converted the stock before donating it and just giving them the cash as a donation.
Well, like I said, the investment account is the property of the board of directors, and they determine how it's used.
Right.
And if a station, the money comes into Pacifica, and we have to be clear, the money can come through the station, but legally and otherwise, the monies belong to Pacifica Network. And if stations want to use monies that are earmarked or even not earmarked, that is to say they just need extra funds for programs, and sometimes we're given money that way for use by program purposes, it's not even to a given station. Most of the funds are for general use and not to a given station, by the way, just to clear that up.
Right.
The board would, the station would say, we need to use XYZ funds either that are earmarked for that station or are in a general fund for programs. It would put it in their budget. As I said, the finance committee would review it and try to measure the value of using the funds that way. And then it would go to the board for overall.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, like you said, all the funds belong to the foundation and ultimately are under the control of the national board. But it seems that, I mean, it seems like, you know, like I said, it's not to the station's, not in the station's interest to receive stock. I mean, my position, I mean, if we're gonna consider changing the policy, would be that, especially if you're converting it to cash. Now, if you were keeping the stock as stock, and say, well, let's hold on to this, then I could see some sort of limitation on accessibility. But if you're converting it to cash anyway, it would seem to me, I mean, from a station position, I would say, well, send us the cash. I mean, the fact that it's stock is, since it's being converted to cash anyway, send us the cash once you make the conversion. I mean, I don't know how other members of the finance committee feel, but that would be, I mean, like you said, it's not a lot, it's probably not happening that often. From a station perspective, but I mean, it would seem to me that if you're out soliciting, that you have a development person raising money for your station, that really, if the person says, okay, I don't have cash, but I have stock that I want to contribute, you know, really the person's kind of going to be kind of frowning upon it and say, well, listen, you know, I really wish you would sell that stock and give us cash.
Yeah, this is LaVarne. I think, well, on a number of these, as you'll hear my comments later, I think for really to understand what you're trying to do here or this policy, I mean, just since we're in development, I think if you could just do some T accounts so I can understand what you're saying here, because, you know, this, unless I see that, I can't really follow what you're saying here. I mean, it's just you know, it's not it doesn't really tell the actual general and the JE that you're doing to make these things happen. So with stuff like this, we definitely need to show your T accounts to show the actions that you're taking. But when one donates stock to any not-for-profit, they immediately always sell it, because otherwise you'd be carrying, like, you know, people always donating stock, so you'd be carrying all of this stock, and you have to watch the price, and you have to make a decision when to sell. So it's sold immediately. That's done. But definitely, if it's donated to a station, that would go to their balance sheet as cash. I don't understand. So that's why I said, you know, the conversation we're having now, you really need to lay out T accounts to show what happens. Otherwise, this isn't clear.
Yeah, well, look at the balance sheet, page 18 of the audit. That's what the auditor does, is he values the donations that may have come in for a given station and puts those amounts into that balance sheet. I'm looking at, for example, KPFA got a gift of $350,000. It shows in their account in that amount. And contributions from Katrina Relief are shown station by station. Those things are in the balance sheet. And
so, Lonnie, I'm sorry, are you done?
Yeah, go ahead.
What is mute on this? What's mute?
Mute? What's mute? I don't normally mute, so I don't know.
If
who knows what mute is?
One or six, one or the other.
What is it?
Can I ask? Can I ask a follow-up question?
Go ahead, Baruti.
And nobody knows what mute is. Okay, no problem. But I'm going to make noise here. So.
Lonnie, you say that you converted to cash, but then you said you put it into the foundation's investment account. When it's in the investment account for the foundation, what are they doing with the cash then? They're buying more stock?
Yeah, they're trying to, of course, increase the value of the stock. And if your stock came into a low-performing stock, and it's standard practice to convert stock donations to cash, by the way. That's not unusual. But because a stock may be, a donor may have been giving you a poorly performing stock.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hold it, the stock's value goes away or whatever.
Right.
They don't necessarily give you good stocks. They're just trying to get a tax write-off many times or whatever the case might be. So general practice has been, I don't know, for years, to liquidate and then try to use those funds to increase the value of any other stocks that are purchased. That's been Pacifica's way. That's common also. Question that I hear is, how is the accounting done such that the value of the stock at the sale price is earmarked for that particular station? That is what I will detail in some detail in a couple of days when I go back and trace the history back. But some of these things have been around for a while.
Right. But even more so than the accounting, to me, is the accounting is one issue, but the policy is who's going to have these funds once the conversion is done? Like I said, I mean, the accounting is one thing, but if there's no accounting problem if you sell a stock and you send a check back to the station, there's no, you know what I'm saying, there's no real major bookkeeping issue because basically it's just a temporary delay between the person bringing stock or bringing the rights of the stock to the station and the cash being sent to the station. I mean, it becomes an accounting issue if you're going to hold on to that money and then set up an investment account in which you have to determine each station's proportionate share of the investments being held in this single investment account. But if we, you know, if folks think that the policy should be that the money goes back to the station right away, which is the direction I'm kind of leaning in, then it won't be an accounting issue because once you convert it to cash, National writes a check, or they give us credit, as someone suggested, as money submitted to the National office, or the money comes back to the station. So I think it's more so, what do we feel is the best, you know, use of the funds for the foundation? Should it go back to the station that actually solicited and received the donation, or should it be held at National for them to invest?
Brian?
It's not held at National. It's the board. The board has control over the investment accounts, and they make decisions around it. But if what I'm hearing you suggest is a change of policy. You're saying, no, let's not. Let's liquidate the funds and have it go back to the station. That's a change of policy, and the board will have to make that decision. I couldn't just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we put that on the list of items and seeing how many make sense as they're stated and others that the committee wants to look at changing. That might be a way of proceeding and having us move through the document. Right.
Yeah, I was just about to say that we don't want to spend, you know, too much more time on this one item because we have a lot to move through. But it sounds to me, now, who would be responsible for initiating this policy change? Would it be, it would have to be finance, not audit, because audit is supposed to just really look at the policies and procedures manual. We're not supposed to be coming up with these things, right?
Well, that's a good question, Nandia. I think that the answer will depend on use. If a station wanted to take the donations and use it in their budget, then the use of those funds would be looked at as any source of funds would be. If the station wanted to take those funds and create its own investment account, that's a very different issue. And I think you'd have to, it hinges on what purpose the station wanted. Either to change the policy, even, you'd have to ask the question, are the stations getting stock donations and they can spend it any way they like? Or is it that we have to go through a process, you know, like any other funds we see would go through? And I don't want to, you know, give the impression that there's a huge sum of money sitting there that's unaccounted for. There has been, if you ask general fund development people, very, very, very small stock donations that I'm aware of, and I've been here 5 years. I will check to be sure I'll do the detail.
Right.
Brian,
well, one second. The size of the stock shouldn't determine the policy. I was just saying, so Lonnie, you will rewrite this or let
I'm gonna come up with first I'll come up with data so that we know what we're talking about, how much, when, and then so that we can have a clear idea of what's going on. Let me do that first and not try to guess on the phone. That's not wise.
Okay, no problem. Was it Brian? Did I hear Brian?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to chime in and back up Baruti that may be a better system.
It's been a little confusing for us looking at our balance sheets on the audit, understanding what's in our accounts and what's under management at the national office level. And particularly right now, there seems to be a discrepancy between what's listed as restricted assets and what's listed as restricted asset liabilities. They don't match up on the sheets. And we're not sure if some of what we think is cash on our balance sheet is actually some form of endowment fund. So it might make sense to have that money go back to the stations. Also, if it is getting invested, you know, different stations might have different investment goals. At our station, we have a pretty healthy cash cushion. If we were giving restricted gifts or stock gifts above and beyond that, we might want to be investing them for relatively high risk and long-term return. A cash-poor station might want to not want to do anything riskier than a money market because they need to maintain that liquidity. I mean, I think it does make sense for there to be local accounts for these things, particularly when they're earmarked for particular units.
I think there'll be disagreement about that one. I don't think that. I think we're talking about a policy for all stations, not individual policies for individual stations. And there will be, I think, an argument on principle around that one. But be that as it may, let's not try to pre-guess. Let's start at least get the information and start there. And I'll do that work.
Okay. Now, the audit committee didn't have a problem with grants in the SCA income. The question was, there seems to be a contradiction between the auditor's annual report that says that that rent expense should go back to the station for special projects, but somehow that's not the case. And Lonnie noted here, state the auditors. I wasn't quite sure, Lonnie, what you meant by that.
Oh, which section are you on there?
That's in the SCA income.
Yeah, the auditor's actual note is that the funds were to go back to the stations with board approval, and that's what I was referring to before. That board approval occurs in the context where a station says they want to use funds for specific purposes inside a budget. And then the board would or would not approve it. The finance committee would also review any proposed use for, say, SCA funds, so any fund, whether it be these donated stock funds we were talking about earlier or these SCA funds or any fund. And what I do hear, some people feeling, well, these are our funds. We should be able to use them any way we want. That is not the case. That is all proposed use of funds. Say if you had $1 zillion in your bank account, and the station felt that those funds had been, quote, earned by that station, and they wanted to spend them on, I don't know, a brand new building, something quite legitimate. Question on the table is, could the station do it unilaterally? Use those funds to buy a new building? The answer, I think, is going to end up being a legal question. And a legal question, can the station do that? The answer is no, not legally, because the station is not an entity and therefore can't take public funds and spend them that way. Only the board, C&B, is the legal entity that can spend public funds. Stations.
This is Don White. I have a question for Lonnie.
Yeah.
Madam Chair? Yeah. Well, Lonnie, hypothetically, and this is not very hypothetical, a local station wants to fund a youth training program in specific areas of a city, in minority communities. So they apply, their development director applies for a grant specifically outlining the use of that money, and the foundation awards the grant on the basis that these youth training programs will be set up in South Central Los Angeles and East Los Angeles, and the money comes to the station. You're not saying that the local station must get the approval of the PNB to use that grant money for the thing that it was awarded to do by the foundation who responded to a station's grant proposal. Are you? We wouldn't have to get that approved if it were actually granted after the foundation saw exactly what the money was going to be used for.
Don, Are you talking about grants, or are you talking about SCA income? Because we're talking about the SCA income, not grants. The rent.
Oh. Wait a moment. I may be confused then. I understand. I heard the word grants. I thought I heard him refer to grants.
There was no problem with grants. Not with the audit committee. We're on to the SCA income. So,
the question is not germane then. I misunderstood. I got bounced off Yahoo group, so I don't have some of the material I need here. It's not germane then if we're not talking about grants.
Okay, problem. So this SCA income, is there a stack anybody wants to speak?
Jamie would like to speak.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Yes, one particular issue I have with this paragraph is the very last sentence. It says, all proceeds by authority of the board of directors are retained by the national office to cover governance expenses.
Yeah.
If I read this correctly, this is saying that any subsidiary communications authority income gets put into a special account or a special place and only gets spent on governance expenses. Is that correct?
Well, that needs to be restated. Yes, I noticed that too. It needs to be restated. And what I would do is put the actual wording of the audit note in that, where it states that funds from SCA can be used by the station upon approval of the board of directors. And that is, again, an example of what I'm talking about.
Can you repeat that one more time for me, Lonnie, so I can write that down?
Well, I'm going to try to read it out of the audit document from page 11.
Oh, okay.
Mary Berg, I'm sorry, I have to make a point of personal privileges. I've been listening to both, but I have to go to the other call because I need to.
Okay, Mary, thank you.
I will be listening to this, and I'll just wish you all luck. It's not going to work for me to try to do both.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Could you tell them I'll be there?
Isn't up to it. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay.
Yeah, what I propose to do is to put the actual wording in the audit document into this policies and procedures and not have it be ambiguous.
Okay. So really there's nothing about this money has to be spent on governance expenses, right?
No, I would take that back. Yeah.
Oh, all right, thanks.
I would
thank
take
you.
That and put in its place the actual
rather, where the note number 9 reads, right? There was
exactly. And that way, we're clear on two things, that the funds in SCA were to be used for the stations. But, and as I mentioned before, in the context of expenditures on programs as approved by the budget, as approved by the board. And so that language I'm looking at, note number 9. So if those of you that remember the audit, take a
look.
That's
correct. And the working group, I realize that. Okay. Now, on to affiliates. Revenue. Here, you said that you need to look into this, Lonnie. I'll read what it says. The affiliates director at the national office manages affiliate contracts with community radio stations, permitting them to broadcast all Pacifica Network programs. I'm reading our edits into this also. National office affiliation fees and negotiates contracts annually.
Where are you reading from now so that we can all be on that same page?
The affiliates revenue, the one right below the SCA.
Yes, I'm looking at it now.
Affiliation fees are reviewed by and monies are collected at the national office. Oh, is that the current practice? And
we had a change last year on how we handle affiliates revenue, and I need to update it.
Okay.
That is to say, I think the affiliate revenue used to go into the PRA, and that practice has changed where affiliate revenue now comes into the national office and the contracts that are related. Contracts had always been reviewed and signed off by the executive director. But what's new in the last year or so is that affiliate revenue now comes to the national office, not to PRA. And that was in the context of trying to separate out the affiliates from PRA. And the affiliates folks want to set up, if they can, a separate
unit. And this is one step in that direction.
So that will be rewritten. Great.
Yeah, I'll revenue.
This is Lavarin. Okay, I got the package that you sent. So if, when you say rewrite, is this the rewrite you're talking about? With this, the package I have has the things crossed out in blue.
Yeah,
this is the rewrite. The national office manages affiliate contracts with community radio stations permitting them to broadcast all. Then it says the national office sets affiliation fees and negotiates, and affiliation fees are reviewed by, and monies are collected at the national office.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. So does everyone have Lina's rewrite package?
Yes. The blue LeVar is what the audit committee did. If the track changes, still there.
Right.
And then his are in red.
Okay. Yeah, and so Lina says that's the rewritten. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one.
Down to list rental income. The problem that we had here is this the current policy? And what it says is Pacifica receives income from the rent of its listener support list. The foundation's principal, and Jamie caught that misspelling, renter is Pacific List. And issues monthly statements detailing the receivables and payments received each month. Checks are remitted for any amount collected. All documentation is maintained by the finance office. Is this the current policy line?
Yeah, we get about $8,000 a year from renting the list, our list. And this is a list that has been accumulated by the national office doing its mailing. Not station list, by the way. We mostly exchange lists with other 501c3s, or we purchase lists from. What we do mostly is we purchase lists from what we call acquisition lists. So we purchase a mailing list, say of Greenpeace or Hightower or ACLU, and we mail to their members advertising Pacifica events or requesting donations or whatever it might be. So we don't rent mostly; we buy lists of progressive organizations and use them in our mailing. And in the income statement, you'll see in the revenue section what the revenue is from renting our list. It's about $8,000 or $9,000 a year.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? We'll move on to rental income, which was a big one. Don?
Point of privilege.
Yes.
Lavarin, I believe Brian and I both don't have copies of the latest, if you could email privately.
Okay. I was with Lonnie, what you said to me, the policies, that's the late. Okay. I'll forward this on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don, are you there?
Yes, but I did not ask to be recognized.
I'm recognizing you. I know you like this one. The rental income, what it said originally was that Pacifica leases space as available in the building. KPFA does have a lease agreement covering a portion of its buildings. The rental income is received by the finance office and recorded as rental income to the national office. The mortgage on the space occupied by KPFA is in the name of the national office. And we, in the audit committee, we changed it to say Pacifica leases to third parties. Is it to third parties? Or we think this is a line?
Point of privilege, Brian.
Yes, Brian.
That sounds like that's all new language that I haven't seen yet, as it concerns my station. Could we postpone that until we get the new version, those of us on the finance committee?
Okay.
I want to discuss this. I just want to be looking at the same language you are.
All right. Well, Lonnie has this. Lonnie?
I just sent it. I just forwarded the package to the finance group.
Lonnie?
Yeah. Who's the third party? It must have been the restaurant. That's out of date now because the restaurant is there. And we don't know if KPFA is going to rent that space or not. It's the restaurant, so that we'll have to rework that. But KPFA does have a space that it can rent and has rented in the past, in this case to a restaurant. And the question is, you know, what kind of language should we have to reflect that?
But I think what came up was that the national office is in this space, correct?
Oh, we're in a separate space than what I'm talking about.
But does the national office pay KPFA rent?
No, KPFA has stated that we should pay rent. The position that I take and the board will take is that the national office owns KPFA in the building. We'll be paying rent to itself in that scenario. I'm talking about rental space that is next door where KPFA has rented out that space to a restaurant, in this case, over the years, and they still have that space there. And so the question is whether it plans to lease that space out or rent to third parties or whether it'll use it for its own purposes. But the language has to, we still have to have some policy on rentals.
Right. That's correct. Brian, I think Brian wanted to be recognized.
Then I'll
go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wish we could wait until I could look at the language the rest of you had. But as far as rent is concerned, Lonnie, it's troubling when you say that you own the building because we pay the property tax bill every time it comes. And we made every mortgage payment on the space that you're in. And the station raised the capital to build it.
And
you seem to acknowledge that if we rent out the address next door to you, which is in the same building, that rental income would come to us. So I understand that we're all one corporate entity, but I also understand that for the sake of convenience, we break it up into units and expect the unions to be self-sustaining according to the models we set up for them. It seems that the actual expense of running your office is not reflected in your books if you're not recording some expense associated with the space you're in.
Well, I don't know. I sound like I'm repeating myself, but the deed to KPFA's building, and indeed all buildings, is to the National Board. KPFA does not own the building that they occupy, even though they pay the mortgage. I understand that was the understanding. Since they were occupying space, they would pay the mortgage on the building. The same is true for KPFK. All properties and all income, legally, belong to the National Board. That is the way almost all organizations are set up. The station's income, let's take the hard case. What about the income we raise every quarter? We raise millions of dollars. Isn't that our money? And you get that question quite a bit, at least I have. The answer is no, not legally, you don't. The Pacifica organization set up a radio station in 1949. And people come into those stations and use those facilities to raise those monies. That does not mean the monies belong to the people who use that building and use the license that belongs to Pacifica. It's like going to a restaurant and say, well, I've been here eating a long time. I own the restaurant now. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The stations cannot legally even enter into a loan agreement without permission of the board. And the board and Pacifica, in fact, signing off. Now, stations have done that, but it's not legal. Stations have gone out and hired their own attorneys, and the board has said, no, you can't do that. You're not an entity, a legal entity, that can enter into debt. Only Pacifica Foundation can incur debt, not stations. Same thing is true up and down the line. Now, I know with the history that we've had, people feel that a take-back has occurred, and there is the sense that each station, therefore, is autonomous, financially and legally and otherwise. It's just not the case. The FCC will say, no, the licenses belong to Pacifica, and they're responsible for everything that happens in the station. The IRS will tell you the very same thing. The state of California will tell you the same thing. That board of directors is responsible and owns every – if there was a FCC issue at KPFA, the persons or, due to decency or other issues, the liability would rest with the National Board, not with KPFA. You would have no liability whatsoever. And that's the same thing is true with lawsuits, even though you pay some of those lawsuits, but they, in fact, you're not legally responsible as a station. Only Pacifica and Pacifica's governing body, so the National Board, is responsible. That is the facts, as I understand them, to be legally IRS, state of California, and it's true in any organization. You will find no sub-entity, unless it's independently incorporated, that has liability. Only the parent entity does, whoever holds the legal licenses, whatever. and the deeds. They are the ones that are responsible.
This is LaVarne. Hello?
Go ahead, LaVarne.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. I don't know if Brian and Terry has received that. I know it took a while for me to download it. But I see this here. So, Lonnie, actually, you know, I agree with you. You know, we shouldn't pay rent. But what we should do is that we should allocate some of the cost for maintaining that building to all the tenants who are in the building, which includes the national office. So that's what we will do and what we need to do for KPFA. You're right. We can't charge you rent. We all own the building. But we can allocate you the cost for maintaining and operating the facility, which I think should be in the national office cost. And that's what we plan to do. Because that's fair, I think. And so we can look at, we don't have to, no, it's not rent, you're right. It's an allocation of the cost of maintaining and operating the facility, which we do, which KPFA picks up 100% now, and which we plan to determine a factor to allocate some of those costs to the national office.
Don White.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Yeah, Lonnie, as I understand it, because the archives are housed on the second floor of the KPFK building, you're quite right. They don't pay rent because this is all one big family, one big, usually happy family. However, however, there is a benefit, however small it might be, to KPFK to relinquish a huge, you know, block, square feet of space. Because I've heard our management talk about a benefit we get. So the principle here is not that the archives pays KPFK rent, but that we are recognized as relinquishing something and providing a service to the archives. So there is, isn't it true that there's a somewhat small benefit to KPFK in the formula because we house the archives?
Yeah, that's true. I haven't seen that in writing, Don, but I understand that we've been, I've perpetuated it since I've been here. They do get a break, a half a percent, half of 1% in consideration of the archives, but archives is a unit of the national office, and if we go to there, to the point of having KPFK charge the national office for that space, well, that's where I would have to argue that that's a slippery slope, because you have a station, for example, an extreme example, say they wanted to charge the archive rent or wanted to allocate expenses, as LaVonne is suggesting. Well, that, I know in a way that seems to make sense. But on the other hand, taxation is a station taxing the entity or allocating expenses. You go, how much and what's fair and whatnot. Not that we couldn't work it out, but that principle also would be something to look at. I think that one way to do it is to have what we're already doing, you know, at KPFA. I don't know if you know, LaVarne, is KPFA is receiving a central service benefit in terms of that space. You don't pay full 20%. If you look at that budget, what's allocated is $3,000 a month reduction in your central services, and I think it's related to the use of that space.
All right, we're in the budget.
This is LaVarne. I don't think so. I think that reduction was due to from 7 years ago. I think that's the ongoing entry that we've made to actually give try to pay, not pay back, but try to understand and recognize KPFA's tremendous inflow of cash during 2000. But I can check that again.
Yeah, that
Brian, you were about
good,
to say.
I haven't seen anything on it. It's been, you know, I've been trying to figure out what is that for. You're the first person that says that they know. But I've just been seeing it as a reduction against your central services, and that's come to like $36,000 a year. So.
Oh, no.
No?
Lonnie, what are you referring to? Are you referring to something that would show up on our central services line? Or are you referring to the debt?
Yeah, it shows up in the budget. What happens is you
what
get
line?
Well, I don't LaVon, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I don't have all the stuff in front of me, but that's what has been there. I'd have to check it again to make sure that it's happening, but that's what I believe it is. I don't have that in front of me right now.
Just been over our budget and our projections for this year, and what you have in an Excel formula that calculates a strict 20%. So I'm shocked to hear this because there's nothing else in the formula.
There's
a small amount of debt repayment that we get that shows up, but it doesn't come close to approximating the number you just cited.
Yeah, they called it debt repayment. I couldn't figure out what it was for. But it is a deduction against your central services. And even though it's not in the budget, it is, in fact, when we compute central services check with Lois, reduced by that $3,000 a month I was talking about. So that's something we can check into. But it's been around since I've been here.
Okay, so I agree with LaVarne. I think that this needs to be investigated, and then because somehow it's almost was actually 9:15 now, and we have really gone too far with this. So it's looking to me like there might have another meeting. Now, LaVarne, do you want to take over now, and then see how far we get? It's 9:15.
Oh, it is 9:15.
Under the essential services, you have the document now. You see ours in blue and Lonnie's red. So you'll do administrative services, okay?
Okay. If I, Terry, or if I start, because I have bronchitis, if I start coughing, someone will have to take over for me. But I'm okay right now. Okay. Or Nia, if you're still there, please take over because I might start coughing. Okay, so I think I had to step away for a second. So how did we leave what we're going to do is just check our what's actually being charged by KPFA and take that offline in terms of the $3,000 that Delaney still believes that that's being reduced.
I still think it's there, but
that's correct.
Get there and be sure about it. But you know, it'd be nice to, if your memory, if you could figure out what was it for. I'm not clear. There's no paperwork I can find on it.
No, of course not. But that's what it's for. That's what initially it was for. So I'd have to check it, and we'll check offline to see if it's there and what we actually have in the budget. But that's what it's for, if it's there. But and the whole point is that but on the rental income, you're right. But we do need to we do need the national office to allocate the cost of maintaining their share of maintaining the building. So we will address that also offline. Thank you.
So now we'll turn it over to LaVarne Williams, Chair of the Finance Committee, and we will start at Central Administrative Services. Go ahead, LaVarne.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, this is LaVarne Williams. I'm Chair of the Finance Committee. And the next item on there is Central Services. And so let me just ask the people from Finance, have you gotten a copy, and are you able to download and see that package now?
No.
You still haven't downloaded, but you have received it?
Terry has it. Had to add a .doc extension to the attachment, and then I have it open.
Okay, yeah, because it took I don't know, a few minutes for mine to actually open after I downloaded.
Terry, I see your comment, but I don't actually see an email with an attachment preceding it.
6:04 p.m. is the send time.
What time? 6:04
p.m. from LaVarne.
No, LaVarne, can you check, make sure, or Terry, if you have it, can you forward it to me?
Okay.
Yeah. It went to the group there because here. Okay, we'll resend it. So, let's just move forward as much as we can. The next item is the Central Services, Administrative Services, and let me go back to the document here. Okay. So shall I read it? Currently it says, Central Administrative Services represents an allocation of listener support revenue from each radio station to cover central administrative expenses. The Central Administrative Services consist of the National Office, Democracy Now!, Pacifica Radio Archives, and Free Speech Radio, and the affiliates. All revenues for Pacifica Radio Archives are received by the National Office and allocated to PRA. Monthly Central allocations to stations are based on a net allocation of 19.5% of listener support revenue for all stations, with the exception of KPFK, whose monthly allocation is 18.5%. And then there's a list that shows the percentages all at 19.5, with the exception of KPFK, which is, again, 18.5. So are there comments, questions about this?